I'm ready.
Well, yeah, I know, but Jingle Bells or something?
Yeah.
Why don't you sing a song, Randall? What's your favorite Christmas carol? Oh. It's a podcast. Can you keep up here? The listeners, they're in dead air. No one's, they can't see us.
Got it.
Do you know how this works? Am I talking to your mom?
Yeah. This is a very special episode.
This is a great one.
Yeah. All right. Sing Jingle Bells for us.
I'm just happy to be here.
Sing Jingle Bells for us.
Can't do it.
I'm going to punch you in the neck.
If we can do a car crash while we're driving, while we're podcasting, would that be good?
Yeah. It'll be better than the show.
Randall's already been on more episodes of our show than
my wife has listened to.
I was gonna say than there were episodes in its entirety of the Dadcast.
Are we still on that?
It was so good.
It died on the vine, man.
I like to bring it back.
Let it go.
It's funnier every time you bring it back. That's how stuff gets funny.
Hey, were you on that episode?
No.
No, you weren't. You weren't even
I got cut.
You
I
weren't
cut
even
from
invited.
The Dadcast.
You were not even invited to the worst podcast in podcast history. How do you feel about that? First one cut from that show.
Yeah.
Schwartz,
I feel
good
like
job.
The reason it died on the vine was no Schwartz.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that would have done it.
Great.
Eighth season of the Dadcast coming up.
I think it was your overall lack of commitment. I think that was the issue.
Yeah. All right. Good start.
All right.
Hello and welcome to the... Do we do the episode number on the Christmas show?
Yeah.
I don't think we do. I can't. There's no way I can count that far ahead.
Okay.
400.
Well, no, I would just mean the number of Christmas episodes. This doesn't really count in the cycle of the other episodes, does
no,
it?
This isn't in the proper Canaan of two hosers. This is like the Never Say Never in James Bond, how it was the only one produced by not Albert Broccoli.
Right. This is exactly like that.
Exactly. We might bring Sean Connery back to Never Say Never Again.
Okay.
To remake a movie he was already in once called Thunderball.
Okay.
All right, good start. Hey, off and running on the Christmas episode number 8.
That's amazing right there.
It's not amazing. It is kind of amazing, actually.
Yeah.
Amazing how big of losers we are.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking that, we're doing this again. I mean, the outcry to stop doing this episode has been very strong, yet here we are.
Yes.
I'm just surprised that Schwartz has been friends with you for 8 years.
We haven't even introduced anybody yet, and you're already piping up.
Yeah, no, nobody knows. He was in the intro, though. He was in the cold
it's
open.
It's my second episode. I'm running the show.
Oh, that's great. I don't even think you know how podcasts work, man.
Our listeners might remember that third voice.
All right, let me set
this
up.
Very memorable episode.
Oh, nobody. Everybody fast forward both his comments. what?
Three voices, though, right? Introduce the fella.
Yeah, camera on my iPhone. That was the one comment. So let's set this up. We're still on the I-5. We're back on the I-5.
Right.
Still on the I-5 from that road trip episode. Heading down to Seattle. And we're recording the Christmas episode early. Christmas has come early to Skagit or Snohomish County.
It's come early to Randall, that's
where
for sure.
Where is this? Snohomish County?
I honestly don't. I have no idea.
Okay, well,
we're close to Seattle.
Somewhere between Vancouver
close
and
to
Seattle.
Are we running close to Everett yet?
No, we're nowhere close to Seattle.
Yeah.
40 miles.
All right. Well, I'm just going to put this in perspective. There's a rest area coming up. I was looking for a mile marker. Mile 208 on the I-5. So I'm going to say King County. We're probably in King County. Got to the bottom of that. We're on the I-5, driving down to Seattle. With me, as always, is Adam back there.
Yeah, live and in person.
And we have back by, Zero Demand, actually.
No, a lot of people. A lot of people like him.
A lot of write-ins?
Yeah. A lot of support. A lot of support for his own podcast.
Yes. The One Hoser Photo Show. Now coming to you, Dadcast Part 2. And this is Randall sitting here driving the car.
How we doing?
And again, you remember him from that episode. Also, his brother we featured, Rob, was on an episode a few months back. The Youth Actors Project.
Yeah.
Young Actors Project.
Yep.
And so he was on, so we decided let's have him on the Christmas episode, because he's a big fan of... Hey, Five Guys, have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Is it good or what?
It's decent.
I've never heard of it, and I bumped into a dude in this story's going nowhere fast.
It's not. No. It's not going to blow your mind.
Okay.
No, I have a question.
What's that?
So when you say like Youth Actors Project, you did that last episode we were on. Right. Is that kind of like when you were working on that dating show and you kept telling the guy to use a different name just to disrespect the other person? When you were filming that show.
Oh, that's right. I did. I was the sound guy. I wasn't filming.
You knew one of the guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Went to university with me.
Does he keep bringing up your brother because your brother's more successful?
Yeah.
Than all three of us? Yes.
It's like if the other guy's name's Adam, he'd be like, keep calling him Alan.
Yeah.
I did that, actually. I did give the guy.
Just to totally disrespect
him. So just some backstory on that. I worked, that's a long time, like probably like 15 years ago, maybe more. I was the sound guy on a reality dating show called Eliminate.
Yep.
You ever
see
that?
I remember that, yeah. I remember that show.
So they used to travel around.
I loved that show.
Did you really?
It was garbage, but I loved it.
It was
garbage. A lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
He was a big fan.
They did well. The producer of the show, the creator of the show, she came around, and she did quite well with that show. But it was syndicated, so they would travel around with like three different crews all around North America. And they got to Vancouver and somehow got my name, and they said, like, oh, yeah, we need a sound mixer. Are you a sound mixer? Yes, I am.
Yes, of course.
Yes, I'm not a sound mixer. I was out of a job, though. So, like they say in the business, and they actually say this, fake it till you make it.
Okay, so you did that.
I did that. I went and said, yeah, I can mix sound, no problem. Did not know what I was doing.
Awesome.
Judging by the, speaking of which, the road just got a lot nicer here.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear that at
all? I can hear you now.
Officially in King County now.
You're in King County, obviously.
County of Kings.
And so I went out there, and what I found was, I found really quickly that the word reality show is a bit of a misnomer.
Okay.
There's nothing real, a lot of setup stuff, and so I found that since I was working the mic, I was sound mixer and boom op at the same time, kind of a low budget move. And so I'd be right in with the guys when they're talking, and I would start feeding them lines. If they couldn't think of something to say, and I had something that I thought would be funny, I would just feed them a line, and a lot of them made it on the show.
So now you're the writer of Eliminate.
That's kind of how those reality shows work. It's kind of why it's causing controversy.
So the sound guy writes the show. Now I understand reality TV.
In this case, that's relatively accurate.
Okay.
But was it four guys and a girl?
It changed, right? Sometimes it was a girl eliminating guys.
But this was the guy you knew was one of the guys because he was had to talk trash on the other guys.
Yeah, I'm just trying to fix my mic here. One of the guys, this episode was four dudes, and the girl was doing the picking, but they would alternate. They'd go back and forth. But this one was four dudes, and I remember one guy in there was in your fraternity. Mm. Are we giving out that info?
I don't know.
This is random. We're talking about. I was not in a fraternity.
Yeah,
upstanding citizen of the community.
I'm not going to tell you what fraternity it was.
Yeah, it wasn't a good one, though.
It was the Omega Mus.
Lambda.
Those moves sure can party. I knew him through you, and I recognized him. He's a couple years younger, and so I would feed him lines, and I was giving him tips, like, every time you're talking to this other dude whose name was, like, Steve, I said, just keep calling him Stan. And then he'll be like, hey, no, my name's Steve, and you just say, yeah, whatever. Just completely disrespecting. That's how, I said, the girls love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I was single at the time, ironically.
So when people get your name wrong, just just out of interest, what do they call you? Do they call you Adam?
No.
Alice Attridge.
They don't.
What do they call you?
Called him out at the airport once.
I don't know. No, we're going to get to that story, actually. Right. I don't know if people get my name. Most people just just call me the Canadian.
Oh, because, I mean, I deal with this on a daily basis, being that, you know, I introduce myself to physiotherapy patients, clients, whatever you want. And you know, oftentimes at the end of the treatment, they'll call me by a different name. I never take it as a sign of disrespect, but usually Adam becomes either Alan or Andrew. Those are the two names that I get mistaken for. So I figured because if Adam gets Alan, then Alan probably gets turned into Adam as well.
Nah, people like me.
So maybe it's just it's Alan-centric, the world.
It could be. Nobody ever spells it correctly.
Okay. To be fair, I was at a Starbucks recently, and they misspelled my name with a T on the end.
What's your first name?
Chris.
Oh, okay.
Better story. Called you Crit?
Yeah. And literally, I'm not even joking. When they first called it out,
they wrote Christ down on your thing?
I swear to it twice. I took a photo of it.
Did you still have to pay? Like, hey, man, yeah. I'm Christ.
I actually heard they do that as a way to get social media going.
This story is surprisingly appropriate for this episode.
They write Christ down?
No, they write, like, misspell people's names. People take a photo of it, always post it as a joke. I don't know if that's true, but someone told me that. But someone
that's the key to wrote success. We're headed to Seattle. We can go to HQ and find out.
Yeah, maybe. Literally wrote my name down, and as it's obviously a different person who's making the coffee, the barista, than the person who's working the cash till.
Was it Pontius Pilate?
And the girl who was giving me my coffee, they always look at your name last and call it out. And she took a little double take on the name. And there was a big packed Starbucks in Vancouver, and she called out Christ. And
free coffee for everybody!
Literally, the seas kind of parted. Wow. Everybody's trying to find me to see who this person might have been.
Did you turn that coffee?
You are the Christmas episode!
It was pretty good.
Did you turn that coffee into wine? That'd have been a hot move.
Yeah, that's true.
Fish for everybody. I'm out of Bible references.
Yeah. No, that was good. That was a great... See, already it's paying dividends by having Randall here.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I'm more Santa-centric than I am Christ, though.
Oh, okay.
All right. Next time, try to get them to write Santa on there.
Okay.
So we're done with the Eliminate story.
Great.
Let's talk
about... Did he win?
No, he didn't win. Okay. Yeah. No, he was kind of a loser. I told you he was in a fraternity, right? Yeah. Anyways, so I thought we'd talk about Chris for a little bit, how I got to know Chris. He's my parole officer. That's untrue.
Yeah.
And not that funny. Sometimes they're not all gems
double
here.
Whammy.
They're not all gems here, are they? So I've known Chris for almost forever. We grew up in the same town, played baseball together. All right, let's talk about something else.
It's officially the 27th anniversary of our trip to Saskatoon. Our first one.
When we won, you don't win silver, do you?
No.
You lose gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, 27
and
years.
We're on a road trip.
Yeah, 27
Are
years
we
ago.
We were in Saskatoon.
We went to the Nationals together. Richmond qualified. We won the provincials that year, 91. And ended up going to the Nationals, going to Saskatoon for like 5 days. And where we lost the gold medal game.
6 days for me, though.
6 days, for a little extra day for you, which we'll get to in a sec. Who do we, Portage La Prairie. That's who we lost to.
Is it?
Yep.
I don't have a good memory.
Who we beat earlier in the tournament and thought we'd win and take home the gold. We did not. But the game was broadcast on television.
Wow.
So at some point, I'll have time before this airs. I'll have time to track that down. If I can find a clip, I was a little worried right there. If I can find a clip from that TV, the CTV, it was the provincial CTV outlet of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, I'll post a clip. But anyways, the trip, why we always remember that trip is... We'd flown in, obviously. It's a bit of a hike to drive there from Vancouver. So we flew in, and then leaving. Tell us what happened leaving. Tell us your side of it, and I'll tell you what really happened.
Well, security.
So you're on your way home from.
Yeah, we had the silver medals. Apparently, the local media was waiting for us at the airport, as well as obviously all of our parents. I still don't know why our parents weren't with us on that trip, but anyway.
Mine were
not. But anyway, we were.
Your dad was.
Was he? Yeah. Okay, he was. Right.
Your dad. Anyway, your dad bought us beers at the keg when we were underage.
That's
right.
Yeah. How old are you guys? Good dadding.
We were 16.
I would have been. No, you would have been
17.
Older.
No, we were both 17.
Okay.
I would probably would have turned 18 slightly after.
So we.
So the drinking age in Canada is 19, and we got it in our heads. Like, first of all, we went there. Most of us were 15 to 17 years old. And we heard, if you went to the keg, I'm going to call you out, Saskatoon keg. If you went to the keg and put on like a nice shirt, they would serve you without IDing you.
So okay, this was local legend.
Yeah, no,
nice shirt.
It was true. So we went there and we all looked, I don't know about you, actually Randall looked older. When I was 17, I looked like I was 11 and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, so that didn't, but it still worked out. We went there, a whole bunch of us, like 16 dudes, not a girl in sight.
My growing bald spot helped me with getting beer at that age.
Yeah, that's true. So the waiter comes up, we all order beers or whatever it was, and then we had one guy who, to his credit, was 15 years old. And I remember this to this day, he ordered a strawberry chichi.
Nice.
Which is not something that exists.
Okay. So they had it on their menu?
No.
He made it up.
He just panicked. He got caught in the head, deer in the headlights.
He heard someone order a strawberry margarita.
Strawberry daiquiri or something.
And so he wanted a strawberry chichi and almost blew the whole operation. But the guy was seeing a good tip ahead of him. He's just like, yeah, fine. We'll make you something, a pina colada instead. And just pretend you didn't say that. So we got served, and then we went back the next night. Your dad blew into town for one night or something.
So wait, back it up a little bit. Did you guys order just one drink, one round, or did you guys keep ordering drinks?
I think we had a couple drinks. We also had dinner as well.
Okay.
So I don't know if we had steak or not.
Sure, it's cost us $250, but it was a good one drink.
Yeah. But back then, one or two drinks would do the trick.
Yeah.
You know, now three or four, we're good. But so anyways, next night, his dad's in town and says, hey, he's going to take us, me and, not the whole team, just me and Randall out for a steak dinner. And we were like, well, we had beers last night. Let's just see what happens here. And your dad was in it. Your dad was totally fine with it. Very cool.
Yeah.
So we did that. Anyways, the rest of the time, no parents around. We're heading back, licking our wounds from losing the gold medal game, getting on a flight. And the Saskatoon airport is like a really small ferry terminal. Was there one gate back then?
This is 27 years ago.
Yes, 27 years ago. I'm not even sure if Saskatchewan was a province then. So we're going through, the way I remember it, we're all going through. Our parents, and like Randall said, the local press is waiting for us at the airport in Vancouver, the conquering heroes. And should I skip ahead to where we landed?
Sure.
I get off the plane. Your mom comes running up, waiting to give you a big hug. Sees me first, gives me a big hug. Hey, where's Chris? Still in Saskatoon.
Didn't make the flight.
Did not make the flight.
Apparently,
kicked off the flight.
They don't take kindly to comments about firearms in the security lineup, even back then.
This is pre-9/11.
Yeah. What was the comment?
Well, I was in line behind one of the guys on the team, and he went through the security
metal detector.
Beep, came back, went through again, must have gone two or three times, kept having to empty stuff out or take stuff off. And I finally said, hey, Darcy, it must have been your gun in your pocket.
Oh, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, as a 16-year-old, you're not totally clued into the ways of the world. So
yeah,
they pulled me aside into the back room, and all of a sudden they brought my coach in and explained to me that was a pretty serious thing.
Yeah.
And told me I wasn't getting on the flight.
They said they could have
pressed some charges or things like that, but obviously they, given it was Saskatoon and given that I was 16, they let me off by just taking the next flight out.
Which so was several they hours just taught you your lesson by leaving you behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by myself with no adults.
Oh, and even the coach didn't stay behind with you.
Oh, no.
Nobody stayed.
No.
Wow.
All good.
See, now in today's day and age, the coach would be reprimanded for leaving you back there.
Yeah, but the coach had stuff to do.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
Groceries, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was like Sunday night. He wanted to get home. I don't blame him. He didn't make some stupid joke about exploding pins.
Yeah.
So by the time the story got to me, because I wasn't there right when it happened, all I saw was you behind the plexiglass crying. And the cop waving that.
Did you cry?
No.
The cop waving that, well, after he hit you with the mag light, you did. A little bit.
When the rubber glove came out.
Yeah. We thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
You were sitting next to me on the flight, so I got to stretch out. That was the good news. Free seat next to me, and I had your meal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that was the Saskatoon flight. The end.
The border guy here was a little easier to get through.
Yeah. We weren't podcasting in the middle of going through. That would have been kind of ballsy. So, Adam.
Yeah.
This was your idea, buddy.
Yeah, no, I so far, excellent. Good stuff, fellas.
Yeah, so far. Yeah.
Chris, tell us about your, this is kind of putting you on the spot, and maybe you have an answer, maybe you don't, maybe you can flip it around into something else, but in terms of Christmas, because Al and I have talked over the years and we've kind of asked each other all the Christmas-related questions, you know, favorite movie, favorite song, favorite memory, you know, whether it's with your own family, like, I mean, you're a dad now, you've got kids. Yeah, when it comes to Christmas time, is there a tradition or something you guys like to do, or is there a great memory that you have from your childhood, or do you have nothing to say?
No, I think movies, if I was to go back on the movie side, Christmas Story was always one that I had a fondness for. Still let my kids watch it with the Red Ryder BB gun.
Yeah.
You shoot your eye out.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Do your kids like it? You feel like it
it
holds up?
Depends on the age. My older ones seem to get more of a kick out of it than my younger ones, but it seems to have transcended, though. It was a non-Christmas-related story. And my daughter started high school this week, and I was working downstairs, and all of a sudden, this first day of school, all this noise upstairs, this giant racket of all these kids coming in the house. It was like that scene in A Christmas Story when the dogs come in and eat the turkey.
The Bumpus's dogs?
Yeah, and eat the turkey. They were literally ravaging my kitchen like wild animals. I don't know what was going on. But no, Christmas at the Randalls was always lots of fun, actually.
Sometimes what Chris would do is, as you get a little bit older, is you'd get all your presents, and then you'd keep the receipts and take them back and get cash, and then go blow it at the bar.
Is that wrong?
No, that's a true story.
Yeah.
How about you just get a gift certificate for the bar?
Yeah, because you get, does Kids Pub give out $50 gift certificates? That would be awesome. That, you know what? If they were still around, I bet if they weren't burned down, I'll bet you they would give out, they would do that now. You know, loyalty cards.
That wasn't the only way to get bar money, though. We used to have my dad's company car.
Maybe. Oh.
My dad's company car. He used to have a company credit card for the gas station.
And so your dad was president of a company something.
Yeah, somewhere around there. But we didn't have any money.
Right.
A&L. And so we would go to I'd take my dad's car.
A lot of people get jobs.
Yeah.
We went a different route.
We were 17. But we'd take the gas. I'd fill up my tank with the gas card.
He had a company car that you would borrow all the time. He'd let you borrow on the weekends.
Yeah.
And the move was that you'd always say, "Hey, Dad, you know, I saw the car. It's only got 75% of a tank there. should I go out in there? Maybe I'll fill it up for you." Which he would do with the company gas card. But then he knew all the gas stations around that had Red Garden bistros in them. So he would go and buy his lunch for the week at school in the fraternity house. You could buy your lunch for the week and fill up my car, where I would give him cash like 50 cents on the dollar.
So we'd get $50 for the gas, and I'd take $25 for the cash.
First of all, you'd never get $50 back then.
Hopefully your dad's not a listener to this podcast.
Hopefully the federal government isn't listening.
Yeah.
This sounds terrible. I'm not even part of any of this.
We'd get a lot of Slurpees and chocolate bars and stuff like that. I don't think this was university days. This was before that.
This was like 3 weeks ago.
They never got back to your dad with his monthly statement of, "Wow, you really like the Bread Garden at the gas station."
I don't think it ever went there. I think he just went straight into the company. I think it was all...
Wow.
He was the president, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I had one of those company cards.
Well, he was president of the Bread Garden.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was kind of a push. They're making that money back.
It's a good gig when you were 17.
Yeah.
What is the worst Christmas present you've ever gotten? Is there a Christmas present? I mean, I guess you go best or worst. Is there an all-time best or a clear all-time best that, you know, if you asked your kids, they would say, yes, this one present, or an all-time worst where a complete bomb, where your parents got you something and you kind of got it and were like, what were you thinking?
Honestly, put me on the spot, Al, you got one?
Do you have
for
one?
For you? Al? Oh, you had a lot of stuff. Although, good intention, though. I'm trying to think back to those days. This really happened one Christmas where Randall came back from school. And actually he legitimately had like zero cash, blown it all, you know, spending it at school. And you're not going to get a part-time job for 4 days, right?
Right.
On when you get back. And so everybody was going out, hanging out, partying, buying beers and stuff, and he had zero cash. So he did return a bunch of bad presents, well-intentioned, but awful clothing to stores, and then buying something cheaper and spending the rest on alcohol. Just a hot move.
So it's kind of taking a sour present and turning it into liquid gold. Yeah.
But some of those presents, again, were well-intentioned, very expensive, but remember some of those shirts that your stepmom bought you?
Yeah, they weren't good. Those will become things of legend with my brother and I.
Yeah, so I would imagine that would have been probably the worst. I can't think of any of mine that were just the most egregious. Because again, they are all well-intentioned. But my mom, I might have talked about this in the show, Adam. You go ahead, maybe on a Christmas show. But way a long time ago, I thought I'd be the hilarious guy in the room. And I bought a navy blue sweatshirt and had them at the dog's ear put college on the front of it in white letters.
Right.
Just like Bluto Blutarski in Animal House.
Yeah.
Just an absolute replica. And I used to wear that. I still have that. I still wear it around now and then. And I thought that would be great. And so for Christmas that year, a couple months later, my mom went to the dog's ear and got them to put college in black letters on a white t-shirt. So really just random. It made no sense whatsoever. And
trying to think that you love that kind of shirt.
Yeah, apparently I
love the look.
You're into college shirts.
I wasn't even in college.
It was just her dream.
Yeah, I guess it was kind of a hint. Like, hey, you should either A, go to college.
Yeah, my son goes to college. Insert school name above here, please.
The next year she bought me one that just said, get out of the house. So can you think of what do your kids like what you buy them? You buy good presents, right? Yeah.
Well, I think it's changed though, right? You get the older ones now, you run out of stuff to buy. You can't buy toys for a 13-year-old as much.
They just want cash.
And electronics.
Yeah. Cash and electronics, yeah. It's kind of the way I think the world's gone.
I want iTunes credit. What about you, Adam? What's the worst Christmas present you've ever gotten since you started this?
Yeah, no, I was kind of, as I asked it, I was thinking, oh, by the time they answer, I'll probably think of something. And yet, I really can't think of a high or a low, and I think that's maybe what prompted me to ask the question.
You can't think of high or low.
No, not one specific present where I just thought, oh my God, I need to have this, and then I got it, and I was so happy about it. There isn't that, and I can't remember any giant lemons, although there probably were, but again, they were probably from, you know, a distant aunt or uncle that I don't see very often, and I was just like, throw in the pile and it'll get donated or something, but nothing that really sticks out. I think I, as a kid, got so many things from so many people, and that's partly the problem, and maybe that's the problem with my kids now, is they get too much stuff, so I think they'd have a hard time answering this question because it's not one thing, and it's so, I think if you only got one thing a year, then you'd probably have a lot more insight into this question, but I think, like all of us, I think we got too many things growing up.
My wife actually gave me a, is this a hot plate? What do you put those, where you put your pot on top of it?
Like a hot plate.
What do you call it?
Yeah, like it's like a burner that goes.
No, like actually like to keep your table from getting wrecked.
Right. Well, a coaster.
No, not a coaster.
But like, yeah, I know, but a big pot. One, like yeah. a big pot
anyway,
coaster.
She thought she'd make me one.
Like a round piece of cork?
Is it plastic or?
No, it was like a basically a piece of wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on top of it was a tile on one side.
Okay.
And on the other side, this is all homemade, on the other side was kind of like you'd have in a mosaic, little tiny chunks of tile.
Okay. Were you married in the 70s?
But she had drawn, she knew I was a Cal Ripken fan.
Oh no.
And so she had a number 8.
Oh. Guess who wears number 8?
And it.
Yeah, this
it
guy.
It was, it wasn't the most impressive piece of.
Do you still have it?
I can't remember. I don't think so.
No. Are you worried that it was meant for me?
Yeah, might have been.
And then she sort of, she scratched, no, scratched out the Al Attridge.
Did it, was it in Orioles colors?
Yeah, I can't remember. It
was yeah.
I couldn't believe what I was
did
seeing.
Did it say Tubing and Hawks on the back?
Yeah.
Dear number 8.
And so this was your one present? Like you guys exchanged
no,
one present?
No, I don't
present?
Think it was the only one, but it was one. She was a very thoughtful idea in theory.
Did you laugh?
I don't think it was.
She even had the execution. She even kind of commented on the execution lacking.
Yeah, that's pretty
didn't
bad.
Carry through.
I don't think I've never homemade a Christmas present for anyone.
Really?
Huh.
I can't think of a situation where I would homemake anything. It seems like a lot of effort.
Have you ever given somebody a present that you thought was just going to go off and just the greatest thing and it just landed with a thud?
No, No, although they probably didn't tell me if it did.
Oh, they would. Your in-laws would tell you.
Yeah, that's true. I don't really buy them much in the way of presents, so.
Okay.
No, nothing. I got nothing.
Yeah, again, I thought you would vamp for 5 minutes.
Episode is amazing, and just so you know, we're already 30 minutes deep, so we can steer this ship to the finish line.
We can coast it.
says everyone listening.
Yeah, all three of us.
It's not like we've been recording for 6 minutes. We've got 30 minutes in the can.
We
right?
have the wind at our backs on this episode. Is there an award for podcasts?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there is, I'm going to submit
like
this
an award
episode.
Where you submit one episode, like that yeah. really just tells the story of what your podcast is.
I'm assuming that most of the listeners will submit this for us.
Right.
We'll be write-ins. So did I already ask? Is this the Everett traffic?
We're not even yeah. close to what traffic is going to be.
Oh. I don't like the traffic.
No, it's going to get this way. Is nothing. It's going to stop. We're going to be stopped.
Yeah. I hope not. I hope you're wrong on a Thursday. So I'm getting a little hungry. The end. Okay. Now it's time for a funny story about Randall.
And you have one? You guys must have tons of funny stories. You just
yeah.
PG it and then...
They're not funny in PG.
Okay.
Wait, what does PG mean?
It means that it's going to be family friendly.
Oh, then no.
Okay.
I wouldn't say our stories are. We probably think our stories are wilder than they are. Silence. Just silence.
Give us one from high school. You guys went to high school together?
No.
No, we didn't.
No.
Okay. Give us one from baseball. Outside of when you guys lost the championship game and were heartbroken and Chris got stuck in Saskatchewan.
No, I can give a different one. So, Al and I used to... Did you go camping with us that time? Or you pushed that car down the highway?
That was the only time I wasn't there. I was there
so
when you...
So you have a good story that Al wasn't involved in. So now this is the Chris podcast. It's officially the Chris podcast.
Okay, now we'll get to that, but let's set that up. What we used to do is when we were about... We were underage. We were underage.
17, 18.
Yeah, 17, 18. Around that same time, we decided... One of our friends, his dad had this... We called it an RV, but it was basically a tin can on wheels. Like the Beast. We called it the Beast.
Four, yeah. Technically, but...
It slept four. Yeah, that's right. So it had bunk beds or whatever. So it was like a little camper van like from the 70s that was just on its last legs. But we decided, on a whim, like on a Friday afternoon, I think, we said, let's go on a road trip. We had no baseball that weekend, so we just piled in. So the first one was five of us. Yep. I think your brother-in-law was there. 1, 2, 3, Billy, Ken, yeah. So five of us go, and we drove. I forget where we went. We must have gone down to the States, because that's...
Went to that, the waterfall at some point.
Yeah.
Ken got his hat.
Oh, there's a bunch of those. They're blurring together with this much in the rearview mirror. Anyway, so yeah, so we would take this down and go. But one year, I wasn't there. So it's the five of you. Let's talk about the weekend I was there. The first, I think it was the first or second one, we went down, actually not far from here, it was Whidbey Island.
Right.
So we just passed Whidbey Island a few miles back. And so we were underage, but we were also underage for America. We must have been 19, but we were underage. The drinking age is 21 in America, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we went off to get firewood. We left the one guy behind, who's now a lawyer, oddly. And while he was there enjoying the Molson Canadian, the park ranger showed up, asked him for some ID. Well, he couldn't present anything that would state that he was of age. So he asked for all the beer. So he gave it to him and then showed him where we hid the other stuff, which was awesome. But yeah, so we ended up leaving there, going to our place, got our beer back. They gave us the beer back. The point being, the next night, Randall drank too much of that beer.
Okay.
And I had drawn, we drew straws, because there's five of us and four beds. So one guy got the floor. And we drew names out of a hat or whatever it was, and I lost. I got the floor that night. But because Randall was fortunate enough to have way more beer than he could handle, he passed out on the picnic table. So I covered his face in mustard.
As you do to your friends.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
And then went, I did put a bunch of wood on the fire so you wouldn't freeze to death, because it's cold in the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
And I think it was May. It would have been like May long weekend or something.
Yeah, it wasn't my warmest sleep.
No, it was very cold.
But the mustard kept you warm. Is it spicy mustard?
No, but it burned a little bit in certain spots in my yeah. face.
Now,
my eyeballs.
Lest you think this is not a true story, Adam, I have a photograph of this.
Okay.
That I will post on this episode. Although okay. we didn't, no photo talk on this show.
Except for
this. This was taken with a film camera.
Proof for stupidity.
Yeah. And so I will post it of him getting mustarded. So I covered him in mustard and then went and slept in his bed. So it worked out for me.
Yeah.
But the next year I was not there.
I came into that camp. I came into the camper in the middle of the night, half frozen to death. And I kept picking stuff out of my, kept itching my ear. And there was a cluster of mustard in my ear that I couldn't get out. And I woke up the next morning with just caked on dried mustard all over my face.
Yeah.
This is what friends do right here.
Yeah, this is what friends do. Yeah. I got one story. I don't think it's ever been told on the podcast. It's not PG, so we can kind of maybe make some insinuations, but
all right.
The first weekend that I ever spent with Al, so this we're kind of developing a little bit of a trend.
Is this a Whistler?
Yeah, this is Whistler.
Okay.
We got traffic. This is where it's going to grind to a halt. So, I mean, you can tell me if I'm not being accurate in any way in the telling of the story, Al.
Okay.
And you probably tell it with a different tone than I tell it.
I doubt it.
But we went to Whistler, and I knew Al just a very little bit, and it was this... I mean, I guess we played cards together. My brother-in-law sort of introduced us, and...
And at that point, if we're being honest, you probably weren't a huge fan.
Well, no, I don't think I had anything against you. I thought you were funny. You had the occasional funny thing to say. And
okay.
So that's right already.
Hey, spoiler alert, I wasn't a huge fan of you.
Okay. All right.
That's not true.
That's not a surprise.
That's not true.
Anyways, so we decided there was a group of us. I don't know remember how many people.
11.
Sure.
No, I don't know.
So there was a decent-sized group, 8 people. We had a couple of hotel rooms, and we were going up to Whistler.
And one of them had a suite with a bar in it.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And so I remember... I arrived, was, I don't, like, this was a guy's weekend, right? This
no, was, no, no, there was women there.
Was my wife there?
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
so.
Maybe.
Sure. Okay, so I remember you had already arrived to the hotel when I got there, and my wife and I arrived, and I remember it was like, right off the bat, it's like, wow, great, Al's this really nice guy who's already going to make me a drink. This is amazing.
What was I wearing?
I don't remember what you were wearing.
I have a photo of this as well.
Just remember that you made me a drink.
I was wearing a bathrobe.
No, that's not true.
I have the photo.
There's no way that's true.
All right.
You might have... And then I can't remember the circumstances after what happened, but I remember at some point I had to go to the bathroom. Is this usually how you operate?
Well, not me, but you say you in the plural, because it's your brother-in-law, it's Chris, it's all of our friends on that
road
trip.
Were you there, Chris? Do you remember
No,
this?
He wasn't there, but this is standard practice.
Standard practice. So I had a drink made for me, and then, I don't know.
Rum and Coke, I'm assuming.
No,
I think it was a rum and
something
Coke.
Something like that. Anyways... I had to go to the bathroom, and not belonging to this group of individuals, I did not realize that it was very important to take your drink with you when you go to the bathroom.
At all times.
I would have just assumed that I could go to the bathroom, come back to my drink, and it would be there.
It'd be nut-free?
Oh, God.
Yeah. I assumed it would be kind of as I had left it, and it appeared when I returned that it was as I had left it. I immediately started drinking my drink, and then there was a huge outburst of laughter amongst all the other fellas in the room, at which point immediately I think either you or one of the other guys pulled out a camera and revealed to me how my drink had been tainted.
Now, yeah.
tainted.
Yeah, I mean literally
but
tainted.
But you
was tainted.
I was, you know what, it's actually unfair of me because I just met you. I didn't know if you had a nut allergy or not.
Right. Turns out
dangerous.
I didn't.
Yeah, turns out dangerous. One way to find out.
But I think, again, here's the turning point in our relationship and maybe why we're still doing this podcast after 8 Christmas episodes.
I'll say, man, after 39 minutes.
I think I finished the drink and I did not bat an eyelash. That's kind of how I roll.
That is 100% accurate. It was me and your brother-in-law. Oh, separately, though. And then...
Not at the same time.
No.
Same time.
No, it was a shot glass. And so yeah, so I wasn't sure how it was going to go down. I'll be honest, I'd probably had a couple by then, so I wasn't that concerned about how it was going to play out. And I remember thinking at the time when you just fired it down and didn't look back, I was like, we're going to do a podcast. No, but I was like, you know what I thought of back then? I was like, I can hang with this guy. And I knew you'd be, you know, in the group of friends based solely on that behavior.
Instead of just losing my mind.
Which we've seen happen. We've done it to other people. Don't drink that beer!
Yep.
And people don't go in for that. They most people frown upon that behavior when strangers do that to their drinks.
Yeah.
But you embraced it.
I embraced it,
yeah. You asked for
another. It was already done. That's my kind of feeling on any shenanigans that go on amongst guys is it's already done. It's over. Move on.
Yeah.
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 Don't let them know you're hurting.
No. Yeah. What was weird is that we did it four more times, you didn't even care.
Yeah.
In front of you.
Yeah, right in front of you.
Yeah.
So
kind of became just a thing. Yeah.
But then I think not long after that, no, it's just before. Oh, it would have been around the same time. I got your brother-in-law on his stag party.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Remember that one at his house? We picked him up?
He would not have taken to it as well, I don't think.
I think he did.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm impressed.
I
thought he would be livid. He can blow his top at the drop of a hat.
He was more mad at himself because he should have known better. You didn't know.
Berated himself.
You didn't know. I'm going to go track down that photo of me in a robe. And I'm 99% sure it was either me or your brother-in-law. Either he or
someone
both of
encouraged
us.
You is what you're saying.
No, no, I'm thinking we both were wearing robes at one point. So finish strong with your camping story.
Yeah. Okay. So we went. We decided to take the beast, as we called it, camping. No, nothing booked in terms of where we were going to stay. We were driving up to Kelowna, which is about 4 hours from Vancouver.
Why were you going to Kelowna?
And then we decided there was a mining road near the top called Brenda Mines Road. And
Google it. It
was about 3 hours from Vancouver and about an hour. No, it wouldn't have been that far from Kelowna. But anyway, we decided we'd just pull in there because it was an old mine. So we went down into this mining road where they had some tree clearance, and we thought we'd just set up camp here. And get down there, it's way down off the highway, and spent the night camping and got back in the morning, and the truck
Randall.
The truck wouldn't start.
Oh no.
And we couldn't push it up the hill, obviously, because it was a long hill down into where the mining was. And so we decided we're going to walk up there and see if we can flag somebody down so me and one other guy get up there. And literally the first car that comes around is a truck with a giant rope on the front as almost like a little winch. And so we flagged him down. He miraculously came down. He pulled our truck up to the highway. We thought at least if we get it up there, we can get it towed. And instead of getting towed, because we're up high in the mountains at the peak of the highway there, we decided let's just point this thing downhill and see how far we can go without turning it on. And so we rode this thing. I don't know how, honestly, we must have been going for 15-20 minutes.
Down
the highway.
But for clarity,
it's like a giant go-kart.
There's no power steering, no brakes.
So we got out to about 80, 90 kilometers an hour. Going down this hill, and we were all standing beside Billy, who had his hands on the wheel, and who was just like
ready to jump out if need be.
Well, these aren't sharp turns on these highways, right? And the mountains. So.
Plus, you want to be thrown clear.
And so, but by the time finally when it coasted to a stop, we were about a kilometer from an info station. And so Kenny and I walked to it, and we tried to call a tow truck, and it was, I can't remember what, it was a holiday day, like a long weekend, and every place was closed. And so we walked back without a solution to our problem, and thinking we'd all just have to
walk. No cell phones back then.
Yeah. And then Billy took one chance and turned the ignition, and it fired up, and the car magically started.
Wow. And the day was
obviously
saved.
Obviously it had recharged
the battery. Did you go home, or did you keep going on your trip?
Oh no, we kept going.
You gotta go roll the dice again.
That's awesome. I like it.
Yeah.
Giant soapbox derby.
Yeah, that was the 1 year I missed out on.
Oh.
But
good times.
No mustard.
No.
Yeah.
So that'll about do it. And that was not a Christmas story at all.
But still awesome.
Yeah. They did not have to be Christmas stories.
No, they're just stories.
Well, we're pulling into Washington. I see that's the University of Washington up on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
And so we're about 5 miles out from the Moore Theater, so we'll be there in about 2 hours, looks like.
At this pace, yeah.
So, all right, Adam, is that enough for you?
Yep. Christmas episode number 8.
Merry number
Christmas.
8 in the... Oh, we see Happy Holidays, Randall.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Now I have to edit that.
We're trying to be inclusive.
Right.
Now we call it the Christmas episode, dude. It's right there. It's right there in the title. All right. All right, so that's it for Adam and Randall over there. This is Alan saying Merry Christmas.